maybe as the Lord's out now in looking into his word, the word you will find in the fifth chapter of the Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, verse 8 and 9. The 8th and 9th verses in the fifth chapter of Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Well, in the verse previous we read, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Well, we read there, don't we, that he offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying. You know, we need to examine ourselves regarding our prayers. How oft times do we come to him crying? You know, oft times, you know, they're poor prayers, aren't they? But if we have a need and we desire that the Lord may answer our prayers, we should come sincerely before him, and many times with crying. I remember once, if I may say this, because in one instance that I hadn't walked as I should have done before the Lord, and it seemed as though everything had come to an end with me, and then the Lord appeared, and you know, it broke me out. I cried and wept that night till I went to sleep. There are the prayers, you know, that the Lord answers, those that come with sincere desires and longings for the Lord, in thankfulness and with desires to know whether we are right before him. Well, if the Lord Jesus, he says we're in this place, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, what about us? What an example he set, didn't he, to us? And also it says that he was able to save him from death. What a mercy that he didn't, because if the Lord Jesus had not died, prayer sins, where should we have been? There'd be no hope, would there? But no, he died that death, didn't he, upon the cross. Well, we come to our text, though he were a son, and yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, the Lord Jesus was never disobedient, but he learned more by the way that he was brought to suffer for his people. when we consider what he had to suffer, although the Son of God, he was made willing to stand in his people's room, place, and stead. Though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. And it was a path of suffering, wasn't it, of the Lord Jesus? You consider the way that he had to walk. When in one particular place it says that they all forsook him and fled. There he walked a lonely life, didn't he? In that respect. And then as he coming near to the time of his crucifixion, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was made obedient. And who for his people's sake, not for his own sake, because he was perfect, sinless. He did this and all these things and suffered for his people's sake, that they may go free. Yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. And can we, by the eye of living faith, view him in the Garden of Gethsemane, where, as it were, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood for his people's sake? And then, when he came into the judgment hall, one that was near and dear to him, Peter, there he was denied, said that he did not know him. And then, as he was led to Calvary, he saw all these things before him. How obedient he was, that he would bear the punishment that was due to his people. We see him then, don't we, by faith, going to Calvary, be hung upon that cross. And what a spectacle he must have been, hanging there between two thieves. You know, when we come to consider these things, are we made obedient to those things that he sometimes brings his people into, their afflictions and sorrows? Are we humbled before him? Or do we rise up against him and say, well, why should these things happen to me? We need to be brought to realize what sinners we are and what it costs our Lord and Savior to redeem us from our sins, because we're all guilty. Yes, we've all broken that law and we're all condemned before him. And it's only in and through his suffering, his death and resurrection, shall we each be saved. You know, there's many, when they come into trouble and trial, they turn away, don't. Yes, they turn away and say, well, if this is the way. But to those that have been adopted, those that have been born again, are brought to realize what sin has cost their Lord and Saviour. And then they will seek help and guidance by God, that they may be enabled in their measure, because none can walk so deep as he did, but we'll be brought to realize these things and brought to walk in their measure in the way that he walked. Well, we see him then upon that accursed tree. What a spectacle. But what love. Love for his chosen people. When he declared and gave up the ghost. When the veil of the temple was rent in twain. When he declared, forgive them. Well, while he was on the cross, he said this: forgive them, for they know not what they do. What love he had for his chosen people. Though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. Then how he rose triumphant from the grave. That glorious resurrection morn. Does he mean anything to us? Does it mean anything? Are we willing to walk in that way? Are we willing to follow him and to obey him? And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He was a perfect salvation, a perfect sacrifice for sin, for he was sinless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Yes, he was, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. It is only in and through him shall we obtain salvation unto all them that obey him. Yes, that perfect salvation that he wrought out when he expired upon the cross, when he rose again triumphant from the grave, all was done, all was complete. And it's in and through this that we shall obtain salvation, and only through the, through his death and merit. No other way, only in and through him and him alone. Unto all them that obey him, are you willing to obey him and to follow him in all his precepts and all his commandments, to be a true follower of the meek and lowly Jesus? Or are you ashamed to own him? It's a sad place if we're ashamed of him, isn't it? For all that he has done for his people, how he has suffered, bled and died upon Calvary, and being made perfect. What a perfect sacrifice it was. How he fulfilled that law to every jot and tittle of it. And we are breakers of the law, aren't we? Yes, for it is declared, if we break one point of it, we are guilty of it all. And who is it that has not broken one part of that law? Therefore we all stand guilty before an holy God. Yet he became the author of eternal salvation. Yes, he is the author of eternal salvation, that one whom we must look to and seek after, that he may be made precious to our never-dying souls, that he may be formed in our hearts as the hope of glory, with our feet upon that rock, that's rock, Christ Jesus. Are we willing to follow him in that path that in our measure that he had to walk? Not to that depth, because as I said, none can walk in the way that he walked. He did it for a chosen race and thus became their hiding place. And there's no other hiding place, only in him. In his wounded side. Now we do need that precious blood to wash us, that we may be made acceptable unto him. But we need to be made obedient to his ways, his laws, his precepts, those things that he has laid down in his precious word, whereby we should follow. Is it in your hearts that he may lead you into these things, that you may be made obedient to follow him, to be made diligent in seeking after him, that he may be made that one thing needful to you? We do need the Lord then to grant to us that obedience to his ways, that we may be found in that right and narrow way with our eyes up unto him, that we may be brought away from time things and earthly things, for there's no room, you know, for anything of our own. No room for flesh is a very narrow way which leads to eternal life. And it's only those that obey him and follow him will be found in that way. Those that he has ordained to eternal life by the merits of his sacrifice, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. How we need then, don't we, to be brought into that obedience to his ways, that we may be found as those of old, looking up unto him and seeking after him, that he may be made precious to our never dying souls, that we may seek that he may root out everything that is wrong within us. For there's many things when the Lord begins with one, there's many things within us when he opens to our view that which is in our hearts. How we do need these things purged out, that we may be made right and kept right. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. But obey and follow him, but be a true follower of him. He has said, as in his word, come unto me all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. seek, not you shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto thee. Are we taking heed to these things? Are we going along in our own strength and our own thing, saying, well, I attend a place of worship, I read my Bible, all these things, you know. We can rest on if we're left to ourselves, but they're right and proper in their place, but they're not salvation. Not if we're resting on them, the work, not on works of righteousness which we have done. No, we got to be brought away from anything that we do in and of ourselves, and to be made obedient to his call and his ways. Though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Are we obeying him in the way that we should do? Have you heard his voice saying unto you, this is the way, walk ye in it? Yet you are making, you are going your own way. The Lord speaks, you know, to his people. Here we do need to take heed to these things and seek that the Lord may put us in that right way. That way the holy prophets went, that road that leads from banishment, the king's highway of holiness. We need to be oft times in prayer and supplication unto him, that he may work in our hearts with those fervent desires and longings to be a true follower of him, to obey his commands and walk uprightly and sincerely before him, and not be ashamed of him, ashamed of Jesus, that dear name on whom my hopes for heaven depend. Where are you placing your hopes for heaven? Not as the man that built his house upon the sand, and the winds came, the water, the floods came. What happened? The house washed away. No, we need to be built on something far greater than that, far more substantial, not built on anything that we can do in and of ourselves. No, not on anything that we feel in and of ourselves to be right. No, we want to be built on a firm foundation, be built on that rock, yes, that sure foundation, not on anything of our own. No, to have that within our hearts, that desire and that longing to know more and more of him. He who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Unless we become weary and faint in our minds, we need to be strengthened in these things. We cannot obey him in and of ourselves. No, we shan't obey him, not left to ourselves. No, for there is a conflict in us if we have been wrought upon by his good spirit. There's a conflict. It's the new man of grace and the old man of sin, and they'll be fighting against one and the other. But we need these things subdued within us. and be brought humbly before him, that he might lead us and guide us into all truth and teach us. And he'll teach us then in that way which is right and proper in his sight, and then we shall be brought to that obedience to follow him, following his commandments, and to do those things that are right before him, and not be ashamed of him, being made perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Yes, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Yes, and he grants to his people that free and sovereign grace to serve him, to be found as one of those true disciples who truly follow him. And if we are a true follower of him, we shall be made diligent. Yes, we shall be seeking after him, perhaps in his word or in his house. These things, you know, will show themselves and be made known. You won't rest until you know that your election is sure, and that he has chosen you. Know you'll have that deep within your heart, planted by his good spirit, with those fervent desires and longings to know whether you stand before and only God, whether you have those credentials which are necessary, whether you have those right desires and longings after him, whether your heart's been made right. David said, didn't he, in one of his psalms, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me." He knew that he needed it, and you'll need it if you're one that is obeying him and seeking after him and to want to truly follow him. You'll seek out to know whether your heart is right, whether you have those right desires and longings after him, and that he may root out those things that are wrong within us. The unbelief of their hearts, for that oft times rises up, and it's a very solemn word regarding the children of Israel. It says of them that they entered not in because of unbelief. So we need these things, don't we? But we're all sinners, and we're all subject to these things. Therefore we need these things purged out within us, that we may rightly follow him and obey him. How can we obey him if we have got these things within us? How can we be a true follower of him unless he deals with us as he does with those that desire to be made right? And we will have that desire in our heart to be made right before him, that the evils of our hearts and those things that are wrong may be purged out. And without it we shall perish and be lost if left to ourselves. So there's only one place where we can look. We need our eyes open. Yes, we need our eyes open to look up unto him, to be enlightened. The Lord to grant to us that true and living faith, to believe and to trust in him and to cast all our cares and all our concerns into his hands and to be brought as an helpless, ruined sinner at his blessed feet. It's painful to our flesh, but that's the place to be brought. And then we shall be brought to realize and understand what these things mean unto all them that obey him. To obey is better than sacrifice. Not left as we read of in his word. And now, King Saul, for instance, when he came into trouble, where did he go? Went to that witch, didn't he? And where do we go when we are brought into trouble? Where do we look to him, or do we endeavour to do something in and of ourselves? We need that right spirit within us to be brought to realise that in and of ourselves we can do nothing, but to cast ourselves upon him and him alone for our salvation. It's only through him, no other salvation, only in and through. Now we do need to be washed in that precious blood and made acceptable unto him. For he is, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He was a perfect sacrifice for his people. He made that way whereby we can come and approach unto God through him and him alone, through the redeeming work of a dear Redeemer. There's only that one way. There's many ways that some are left to do to their sad state, but we want to be made right and with all in our lamps and our lamps burning. Want to have those credentials which will take us safely to eternity, to that vast eternity which lies before us, into heaven at last, saved by the blood of a dear Redeemer. He who is the author of eternal salvation. Yes, he who has wrought out that for his people. He who has fulfilled that law which we have broken. We are condemned sinners before God. But he has paid that price. And what a price it was to be brought to realize what our sins have done. How they nailed him to that accursed tree. When we are brought to realize and understand this, we shall be brought in our rightful place at the feet of Jesus, pleading his precious name that he may look down upon us and grant to us to know that we are one of his. And then we shall be brought to follow him and to obey him and to walk in his commandments and in those despised ordinances Does it mean anything to you? Are you willing to obey him to make that sacrifice? To leave all and follow him? Comes close, doesn't he? To leave all. But he'll have all the heart or nothing. No, we cannot serve God and mammon. No, we either serving God or we serving the world. We need then an heart made upright, that we may be walking uprightly before him. And to be brought then to obey and follow him, whatever the cost. But it will cost you something, because if your religion hasn't cost you anything, it isn't worth a lot. No, if it doesn't cost you anything, it'll cost you a many an urn at the throne of grace. Yes, it'll cost you sometimes sleepless nights when you're brought to realize what you are before an holy, heart-searching and a rain-trying God. When you have these things come up in your heart sometimes, and in your minds and your thoughts, it'll bring you on your knees that the Lord may have mercy upon you. The publican's prayer be your prayer. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do you know anything of these things? Does your religion cost you anything? Or can you go along comfortably, thinking that all things will be well? Take his name perhaps upon your lips. You want to know if you're one of his, whether he has washed all your sins away in his precious blood, whether your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, whether it was for you that he hung upon that accursed tree. Then you'll be brought, no doubt, to tell him that you will follow him and obey him. If we have that desire in our hearts to obey him, he'll enable you to, he'll strengthen you, for he strengtheneth those that are weak. Yes, the strength must come from him and him alone. May the Lord then grant to us that we may each be brought to realize and understand that the way that he walked and how he suffered for his people's sake, and how he was perfect, that perfect sacrifice, how he fulfilled that law which we have broken and made it honorable. He became the author of the eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, that we may be brought in that true obedience to follow him in his despised ordinances, and to have that love within your hearts to love him. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Broken walking bridge.
to forgive anything that's been said amiss. That which has been right entirely belongs to thee, and we will give thee all the praise. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion of thy blessed Spirit, abide with you each, both now and forevermore. Amen.